I have been on sabbatical. I did have a prayer day on the beach, I'll admit to that. And I did pray. But mostly I was not on the beach. I was in the library, and first time I'd been back to New College Library, which is the theology library of Edinburgh University, where I studied theology 16 years ago. So it was a very interesting and actually very healing experience for me. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for the time that this community has allowed me to have off. People have asked me, how's it been? And it's actually extremely hard to put into words what it's been like. Ben, am I right? Do you want me to... How's that? Is that a little bit better? One of the phrases I've used quite a lot is it's potentially life-changing. It could change the way that I do the next 40 years of my life. I turn 40 mid-June, and it potentially could change the next 40 years. So it was a very significant time. The challenge for me is living that in the midst of life. No doubt I will say a little bit more. I'm just talking just because I'm aware that folks are coming in, and I want to do just now a meditation before I actually bring a scripture this morning that I feel very stirred about and want to bring before us. So I want to do a little meditation, so actually to have a comfortable place to sit would be very helpful for you. Please don't feel bound to these black chairs. If you want to sit on the floor or lie on the floor or sit somewhere comfortable where you can enter into this meditation, this scripture meditation that I want to bring. One of the things that I have found enormously helpful over the last, well, many years actually, but over the summer in particular, is just having space to imaginatively contemplate a scripture, to allow the scripture and my life to come together in some way. There's a few very, very familiar scriptures that I have probably been praying through almost every day for 2 months. Psalm 23, probably for about 2 months every day I'd read Psalm 23. And when you spend time doing that kind of thing in one scripture and allowing God to speak to you, it changes you. And so I want to bring a scripture and allow some space for us to stop in the midst of our hectic and busy lives, just to allow Jesus to come and speak to us. And so, if we can find a comfortable space, if we could try and still ourselves as much as we can. One of the challenges that I find personally is just slowing down enough inside me, in my mind, in my heart, just to stop enough of the head noise that I might just hear Jesus speak to me. And so learning how to still ourselves is probably one of the most crucial spiritual disciplines that we can practice. So, let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're everywhere. But just now, intentionally, we quieten ourselves to become aware of Jesus. More aware of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bring the presence or the reality of Jesus to us. not actually just this morning, but increasingly in our lives. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring the words of Jesus to us, that would change us and transform us. Lord, help us to see our lives as you see them. Help us to see our families, our communities. Help us to see the city as you see them. So we welcome you. We acknowledge you here. We open ourselves up to you. Move in this community and in our lives for the sake of this city. Imagine that you are sitting on the side of a road just outside a small town called Jericho 2,000 years ago. It's the road that all travellers would take when they left or arrived at the town. So it's a good place to beg. There's lots of passing trade. You need to beg because you can't see. And if you can't see, you can't work. And with no social security, that means you rely on others. Family, if you have any. You don't. So you rely on the generosity of others. You're a professional beggar asking others for money just to survive, just to have food at the end of the day. Just imagine that place. Use your senses. You can't see, but what do you hear and smell? What do you feel? This is your usual spot. Day after day, you sit under the shade of a tree, hoping to get enough money from the people passing by, that you don't have another night with a rumbling and empty tummy. Feeling around in the dark, you grope for a passerby. Alms! Alms for the poor, you cry. This day is different. You hear it from the distance at first. The hubbub and noise of a crowd of excited people growing louder and louder. People shouting and running and pushing and shoving and trying to get to the front of the crowd to see something. Somebody. You're trying to make out what is going on, but with all the noise, it's impossible to be sure. So you ask someone, "What's happening? Why are there so many people here?" "Jesus is coming to town," was the reply. "Jesus? To Jericho? Passing by?" Now you've heard a lot about Jesus. It's divided opinion for sure. Some don't like him. seems to be disturbing the status quo, setting aside the rules and the way that we do things. Others think he's the best thing since, well, the prophets. He does miracles, they say. People who are sick get better, that kind of thing. You have nothing to lose. So you start shouting and hollering, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You don't know exactly where he is, so you keep shouting at the top of your voice, Jesus, Jesus, help me. The crowd around you tell you to be quiet, not to bother Jesus. He wouldn't be interested in somebody like you. Usual stuff. Unless you're rich or powerful, people don't really want to know. But you don't give up. You keep shouting, Jesus, Jesus. And you hear the crowd quieten down. And the voice of a man asking for you to be brought to him. That voice. There's something about it. Some hands roughly grab you under the arms, and they lead you forward until you sense you're standing before this man. He's looking at you with eyes that penetrate deep into your soul, deep into your darkness. And then you hear him speak. You know it's Jesus. His words have such compassion, as though they can see right into your pain and loneliness. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You've never been asked that before. People sometimes give you a coin or two just so that you would stop bothering them. But no one had ever asked you what they could do for you. Some money would be nice. A meal tonight. Perhaps even enough to have a bed for the night too. But this guy, he does miracles, doesn't he? Lord, I want to see, you cry. And so with eyes still closed and in a posture of stillness, you're now back here in this room in 2009 in Edinburgh. And Jesus is standing here before you, looking deep into your soul with all your concerns and worries, desires and aspirations, all the pain and disappointment, all the joys and hopes and longings and prayers. And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? Amen.